Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Yes.
The Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America on IMSA Radio. On IMSA Radio.
It has all come down to this. Sebring International Raceway, the final round of the 2020 Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American Championship, and we still have champions yet to crown. Four different classes in Lamborghini Super Trofeo. They will attack this Sebring racetrack in just one moment. Take a look at where Sebring is, about 90 miles south of Orlando, Florida. Disneyland has absolutely nothing on Sebring. Bumps, they are everywhere around this racetrack. And this racetrack built on an old Air Force training base, a bomber training base. Look at the turns, 17 of them passing in turn one, heavy braking, a great passing area down in turn 7, turn 10, 11, and 12, always ripe for action, and then into the sunset down in turn 17, and also one of the bumpiest sections of the racetrack. Field now heading out. Hello, everyone. Brian Till along with Jeremy Shaw as the field streams out behind the safety car. They will get lined up and get ready to go. Jeremy, take us through the grid. Before we get to race number two, let's look back at race number one, how it all unfolded. All Cole doing what he needs to do and go back and forth. Past Stephen McAleer, gets back up to third. That was absolutely pivotal, I should say. How bumpy is Sebring Raceway? He's the bumps in turn 17. Tire. We're out. Out. He picks up some of the debris from Wormau when he had his problem. And then a great Sydney McKee in the 87 finally gets past Matt Dickin in the 36 for second in LB Cup. This battle up front was not over. The number one working on Madison Snow picks up the third place position, and that was pivotal. It drops Snow to fourth. He is going to have to drive like a madman here in the final race of the season, because Stephen Agakani, Jake Edson, they took the victory, and that is pivotal in this championship. It is now down. Edson and Stephen Agakami. Field behind the safety car, and this is the number 16, the number 1. If he starts it, will be at the back, and then in 15th. Schmidt and Andrusko aboard the 38. Then Tom Kerr, Mike Moritz-Krantz in the 74. The 69, William Hubbell, Eric Curran back in Lamborghini Super Trofeo action. Sydney McKee rolls off in 12th in her number 87 in LB Cup. Just behind Matt Dickin in the 36. Randy Solari in the 03 on pole in LB Cup. Then you move to Pro-Am. Corey Lewis, McKay Snow leading in that category, roll off in ninth. Victor Gomez in eight. That is the pole sitter in the AM category. Leo Lamelas making a charge, trying to come back in the Pro-AM Championship with a good qualifying run there. Then Middleton and McAleer aboard the number one. Pro-AM category pole sitter, Ashton Harrison, Andrea Amici. They roll off fifth. And then the top four cars all in the pro category. Brandon Godovic and Jimenez, they will share the second row and up front. Madison Snow in second position, and most importantly on the pole, Jacob Edson. He will start from the pole, doing everything that he and Stephen Agacani now need to do to try to win this championship for Madison Snow. He must finish third in order to have any hopes of winning this championship if the number six of Agacani and Edson win. Safety car now off of 17 into pit lane. Field lined up, getting ready for the start, looking for the green. Lined up nicely, bring everybody down slowly, waiting for the green. There it is. Edson now with the jump. Good start for him. Madison Snow in the white 16 just behind.
Great start there by the pole sitter, Jacob Edson, to take the lead on this race, looking to carry on the good work that he and Stephen Agacani did this morning. They're now within 7 points of the lead in the championship. It's still led by Madison Snow with a 1 point from yesterday for the pole position for this race. That's another point closer for Jacob Edson and Stephen Agacani. But Madison Snow is doing exactly what he needs in that second position.
What I think, Jeremy, is I think it's actually down to six. When I'm looking at the points that were supplied from IMSA, they don't show the pole for today. So I think it's only a six-point margin. And if you look at that, that means Madison Snow must finish there in the third position if he wants to win this championship. If it were to finish in a tie and Edson and Agacani were to win the race today, they would win on tiebreakers because they would have more wins.
That's exactly right, Brian. They've each got three wins coming into this final race of the season. So if Agacani and Edson can win this race, that'll be the tiebreaker right there. So you're right, they have to be at least 1 point ahead to win the championship. But for Madison Snow, it was all looking good this morning for him. He was running in the second place early on, but slipped back and eventually finished in fourth position. So he does need at least a podium here to hang on to that championship.
And championships not over with as well. Corey Lewis, McKay Snow, they have a 7-point advantage over Leo Lamelas in the Pro-Am category. So they need a good finish there as well. That's a little bit harder for Lamelas to close that 7 points. It can be done, but it is some heavy, heavy lifting indeed. Stephen McAleer and Stuart Middleton on board the number one, trying to get past the 13. Just in front, Sergio Jimenez in that 13. What a great run he had at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, sweeping the victories there. He and ANSA Motorsports have really come on strong. And you look at ANSA Motorsport with very, very little experience in this category, sitting fourth in the team championship in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. How bumpy is it at Sebring? If you just watch the cars underneath the bridge in turn 17, you can get a good idea. And in fact, Jeremy, that's where we saw Danny Formal literally rip that Pirelli Racing slick off the left rear wheel in race one today.
Yeah, that was really incredible. I mean, it just the car was jumping so high off the ground. When it finally landed, it just tore the tire right off the rim. I've never seen that before.
I've never seen that
remarkable. I mean, incredible. But I tell you what, Danny Formal, he started last in this race. He qualified fifth yesterday, but had to start from the back because the car failed technical inspection after qualifying. The ride height was too low on that car. Already on the first lap, he's moved his way from 16th to 9th. A great run in car number 99 for Danny Formal.
And we've seen Danny Formal throughout the season mount some incredible runs after problems. He also ran in the Michelin Pilot Challenge race earlier today. So he's got a lot of track time. You'd think he'd be tired, but he has a lot of track time. And he knows probably better than anybody right now what condition this Sebring International Raceway is in after all the traffic we've had on track today. Sergio Jimenez leading the number one down the back straightaway right now, Stuart Middleton. The first five cars on the racetrack, all in the pro category. And then just behind the number one, the 25, Andrea Amici. Ashton Harrison, Andrea Amici in that 25, finally got to victory lane today. They have been fighting for a win all season long. They found it today. That will help them with capping the season feeling good about looking into 2021 and what a crazy season it has been.
Oh man, hasn't it just? It's been a real roller coaster ride for so many people this season. It's been a lot of heartbreak for a lot of people, but we've managed to carry on the racing, which has been pretty remarkable. It's been a great season of racing in this championship. We're down from the normal 12 races down to 10. Normally, there's a Lamborghini World Finals somewhere around the world. It changes from year to year. That will not take place this year because of the pandemic. So this is the final round of the championship for here in North America.
Stuart Middleton really wanting to get past Jimenez down in turn seven into the braking and the hairpin. Anti-lock braking systems on board these Lamborghinis, but that's close to 155 mile an hour top speed as you get down to turn seven, then on the brakes into the anti-lock braking system. And then the next best passing zone, turn 10, then it snakes over to 13, difficult to get done. And this is that area of the racetrack where you want to push your competitor into a mistake, because once you leave turn 13, very difficult to get a pass done until you get all the way to the end of the back straightaway, heading into Sunset Bend, turn 17.
Yeah, so this is a great racetrack. I mean, it really is a challenge for the teams, the drivers. The weather today has been quite nice. It's been fairly warm, but not too hot out there. The sun is out at the moment, but we're getting kind of late, late afternoon here. So shadows are lengthening, and that could be a problem for the drivers, particularly towards the end of this 50-minute race as they head down the back straightaway into Sunset Bend.
Stuart Middleton really putting pressure on Jimenez down into 17, looks to the inside, side by side, wheel to wheel, and when you get down on the inside, that's where those bumps are. That's where Formal had his problem. But for Middleton, gets the job done. And Stephen McAleer said after race one, he said, "This is the best Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo we have had all year long. They've struggled to find a car that ran well over the long haul, but they had one today. They found it this weekend. And right now, you're seeing the results of that balance on the number one."
This super battle a little bit further back there with the meat in the sandwich there is Leo Lamelas. He's got Danny Formal right behind him. He's got Victor Gomez, the fourth, directly ahead of him. Gomez, he's running in the AM category. He's the leading AM runner in the seventh position. Ahead of him is Andrea Amici, who leads Pro-AM. But right behind Victor Gomez, there's two other green cars, Leo Lamelas and Danny Formal. And they've pulled out already quite a long way from the championship leader in the Pro-Am category. That is McKay Snow. He will hand over this car in the latter stages to Corey Lewis and comes into this race with a 7-point advantage over Leo Lamelas.
But if I'm counting my numbers correctly, as it sits right now, if the 25 were to win in Pro-Am, and I know we have a long way to go, and the 63 finishes in fourth, that would hand the championship to McKay Snow and Corey Lewis. I'm sure that Corey Lewis, when he takes over, is going to want to take that 63 to the front. But right now, things are going the way that McKay Snow and Corey Lewis want to see them go. Danny Formal in that bright green 99, really charging to the front. Leo Lamelas just in front.
He made up a lot of ground in that first lap, but now he's up with some other quick cars here, and finding a way past Leo Lamelas is not going to be easy, because Leo Lamelas, as we've just been saying, he's got his eyes potentially on a championship, so he doesn't want to lose any ground at all, particularly not to another Pro-Am category car, and that would be Danny Formal, who's right there behind him.
Absolutely. As a lot of people who live in Florida like to fish, I always say catching or hooking a fish is one thing. Landing it is something entirely different. Right now, Danny Formal, I think he's got the hook firmly set on the 24 of Leo Lamelas. He's got him on the line, but how does he reel him in? How does he get by him?
Yeah, that's the that's the big number question, isn't it? And we'll have to see. But certainly there's some good dicing here. The race already now settling down. Our race leader, Jacob Edson, he set his fastest lap for the race on the second lap. We've now completed four. We're on lap five. He turned a 2 minutes 2.5 on the second lap. Hasn't got within half a second of that in the last couple of laps. But he has extended his lead over Madison Snow out now to over 2 seconds.
Well, I think when you look at Jacob Edson and Madison Snow up front right now, two young men who have very good heads on their shoulders. For Jacob Edson, he's done everything he needed to do. Stephen Agakani, very much the same. They came in here, they knew they needed every point available, and they have taken every point available to this point in the weekend. Both poles for race one and race two, the victory in race one, and right now, Edson up front doing everything he can to collect maximum points on the weekend. That's what they need to do. For Madison Snow, Jeremy, don't you think he just needs to be cool, calm, and collected? If he continues to run right there and continues to see that white, red, and green number six in front of him for the rest of this race, he's got a championship coming at the end of this.
Yeah, absolutely right. That's certainly his goal. It was also the goal this morning. It didn't actually come to pass this morning, but this afternoon is a different story, different race. It's certainly tough for these guys to have two races in one day. That's a lot of action for them, particularly as it's been a long day for these guys. For Madison Snow, also driving in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championships, 12 hours of Sebring tomorrow. The good news for him is he hasn't had to get out in that car today, so he can just concentrate on this Lamborghini Huracan and try and bring it to the checkered flag, at least in the top three positions.
Yeah, Madison Snow actually looking for two championships this weekend. The first would be handed out this afternoon if he can finish where he needs to garner the Pro Championship in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America action, doing what he needs to do right now, running second behind Jake Edson. The second championship that he wants to go for this weekend is the Michelin Endurance Cup in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. He and regular season teammate Brian Sellers have a good shot at it, and they'll share that car with Corey Lewis, another Lamborghini, in the WeatherTech Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring tomorrow.
The battle we're looking at right now is for the LB Cup category. That's the least experienced drivers in these fields. All of the cars are the same Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo, 620 horsepower, yeah, no lacking in horsepower, but four different categories of drivers: pros, pro-ams, ams, and the least experienced drivers, the LB Cup contenders. That's what we're looking at right now, is Matt Dickey holding off from Randy Solari. Randy Solari has already got the championship wrapped up in the LB Cup, but at the moment he's being led by Matt Dickin in the car number 36, both of them teammates at Change Racing.
Yeah, Matt Dickin missed the last race weekend, two races at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, but he has not missed a beat when he stepped back in to that Lamborghini this weekend, leading, as you say, right now in LB Cup. Jake Edson in Pro, Andrea Amici in the Pro-Am category, Victor Gomez in Am, and then Matt Dickin in LB Cup, the four leaders in the four different classes.
And side by side now for Danny Formal, trying to make that move on Leo Lamelas as they head toward turn one.
I'm not sure what race control is going to say about the dancing number 24 Lamborghini down the front straightaway, Jeremy. A lot of moves there back and forth, and typically that will garner the attention of the officials in race control.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to have to be, you know, he's been around IMSA now for several years, Leo Lamelas. He's won races in the Prototype Challenge Series, of course, and you know, making the move into Lamborghinis this year. He's done a good job too as Leo Lamelas. He has won the Pro-Am category on three occasions during the season. and still has, as you were saying earlier on, an outside chance at the championship.
Surprised by the bump. I haven't really seen it there before. There in the Fangio chicane, the right-hand bend has a pretty significant bump as the apex, as Danny Formal looks to avoid giving Lamellis a pretty significant bump as they come off of turn 10 and head over to 13. These two cars locked together. I said Danny Formal needs to reel him in. He has. Now he needs to get him in the boat because he's right there.
Yeah, there's not much to choose between these two. I mean, they are super tight. Lamellis is having to work really, really hard to keep the Costa Rican behind him. Danny Formal, really not a name that was very well known in the car racing ranks at the beginning of this season. He's done some racing, mainly in his native Costa Rica. He's run touring cars down there. But here in North America, very little road racing, certainly no pro racing before this season. Been given this opportunity by Alan Liddell and Patrick Otto Madsen at Anser Motorsports. But Danny Formal is an absolute legend in the karting ranks. In fact, as we see a spin for Andrea Amici, that is a leader in Pro-Am. That could be critical for the hopes of Leo Lamellis in terms of the championship, perhaps.
Absolutely, and I was literally about to say what a great job Andrea Amici had been doing, giving chase to the 13 in front of him of Sergio Jimenez, but then into 17, looks like just got it wrong at the entry. Really, most of the big bumps are a little farther through the corner, so I'm not sure if he got it on the bumps, Jeremy, or just got in there and got a little too much weight on the nose and got the rear end coming around. I talked to Stephen McAleer about the balance of these cars, and he said, on this racetrack, with these bumps, it is difficult. It's a relatively heavy car, a lot of weight in the back, and up a little bit high. And you get it in there and get it pinned on the nose, it's going to come around. And Andrea Amici, certainly a very talented driver, but this racetrack got the best of him right there. Oh. As this battle between Danny Formal and Leo Lamellis is just intense. It's not really the right word, Jeremy. This is great stuff.
That was fantastic. I mean, Danny Formal just threw it in there from the outside line, trying to make it stick. And as he got the power down, the car just slid out from underneath him. And that allowed Leo Lamellis to get back through again. Let's have a look at this again. It carries a lot of speed into the corner, but runs a little bit wide. And Leo Lamellis there has kept his wits about him and moves back through into the lead of what is now, of course, the battle for the lead in Pro-Am, 7th and 8th overall.
Danny Formal is now going to have to fight to get back to where he was, which was on the rear wing of Leo Lamellis. He got in there. I thought he was going to get the pass done and carried just a mile an hour, maybe a mile an hour too much speed. Could not get the car turned the way he needed to. And Lamellis able to hold on to the position a little bit further back. Tom Kerr aboard the 74 under attack from the 38 through turn one. Tom Kerr having a great weekend in with a new co-driver, which typically he has not had once he started his debut a few races back. Moritz Kranz, the German driver, in with him this weekend. And Kranz was spectacular in race number one this morning.
Yeah, did a really good job, didn't he? And Tom Kerr did a good job here to hold on ahead of Scott Schmidt. He'll be sharing the number 38 car with Trevor Andrusco. That pairing unfortunately had problems yesterday in qualifying. Some sort of obscure electrical problem. The Lamborghini engineers worked overnight to replace the lube in that car. They didn't get it fixed in time for the start of the race, which was pretty early this morning. But they did get the car out during that race. The car was running well. Now Scott Schmidt, with very little track time this weekend, is trying to find a way past Tom Kerr. That's the battle for the second and third positions in the AM class.
Not really hearing Danny Formal with an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice, but I am hearing the line, I'm back, or I'll be back, because he is back on the rear wing of Leo Lamellis right there. Once again, as they came into the hairpin, closing in these braking zones, that's where he needs to get it done. My question, though, Jeremy, is how much of that Pirelli tire did he use up trying to get back there, and will he be able to mount a charge? Should he just sit back and cool things down just a little bit and then try to get back in the action?
Well, yeah, possibly so, but as we see, that's Trevor Andrusco just staying out wide, allowing safe passage there for the second place car of Madison Snow. So he moves past cleanly those two lapped cars, and can maintain his chase of the race leader Jacob Edson, but that gap from first to second, it's been just stretching steadily, 2 or 3 tenths of a second per lap. It's now almost 4 seconds as they cross the start finish line to complete 9 laps, and there is 31 minutes remaining. There's a mandatory pit stop during this race, which can take place any time from about just over a minute now for the ensuing 10 minutes. That's a window which all the teams have to make a mandatory pit stop.
One driver format, 96 seconds. Two driver format, 93 seconds on pit lane. And as Jeremy said, it is a mandatory stop in that 10-minute window. You can decide the beginning of it, the middle of it, the end of it, whatever. You have to wait until the 30-minute mark, and then you've got to have it done before the 40-minute mark in order to satisfy the rules. Brandon Gadovic, a mirror full of the number one of Stuart Middleton. We talked about the fact that Stephen McAleer said this is the best the number one car has been all season long. He's looking forward to climbing aboard once they make their pit stop. McAleer won the IMSA Michelin Prototype Challenge race here last year in a solo drive. And to give you an idea how difficult this racetrack is, he drove that race and won it in extreme pain because he broke a tooth in qualifying the day before. He was biting down so hard over the bump. So it gives you an idea of the prototype challenge car around this racetrack, just how abrupt they are, but also how rough this racetrack is. He said this Lamborghini is like driving a luxury sedan around here with the suspension that it has on it compared to the prototype challenge car. Is the number one into pit lane. Pit lane for Lamborghini Super Trofeo on the back straight, the WEC pits that were put in a couple of years ago, not the front straight. And so Middleton in, and we'll hand over to McAleer.
He will indeed. And the window opened just a few seconds before that. And I think he probably felt like he was being held up by Brandon Gadovic. So bring that car into the pit lane and hand it over to Stephen McAleer for the final stages of this race. If he can get it out with some clear track, maybe he can jump that position. Also into the pits then, Sergio Jimenez in the Caliber 13, the AM leader Victor Gomez, and Danny Formal in the second of the ANSA Motorsports cars also into the pits.
For a lot of these drivers, this is their final race of 2020. Strange to say that being at Sebring, it would be your final race of the season. Some drivers have other races that they'll run in, but it is the last weekend for IMSA in 2020, which is so odd. Usually it's the second race of the year in March, but all of these guys want to go out with a good result. Think about Sydney McKee winning her first Lamborghini Super Trofeo race last time out at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. She would like another great finish to take into the offseason, but it's not going to be a very long offseason at all. We're already towards the middle of November, and it won't be long before January rolls around, and we'll be back at the Rolex 24 at Daytona with IMSA.
Yeah, it's amazing how time flies, doesn't it, when you're having fun, and even if we're not racing, we're having fun. But there's some good dices all the way down this field. It's really cool. There's our race leader now, Jacob Edson. He's going to bring that car in. Just had to get past a slower car there, one of the backmarker cars, but he's going to bring the race leading car into the pit lane with 27 minutes and change remaining in this race.
And for Jacob Edson and Stephen Agacani both, doing everything they can to win this championship, there is no shame in the performance that they have put in this year. We talked about earlier a couple of mistakes throughout the season that have cost them a better run at the championship. It's still only 6 points right now. But you know what? As race car drivers, you make mistakes. As humans, you make mistakes. No one is perfect. And if you're not charging hard, then it's easy to be mistake-free. These two young drivers have given it their all season long, and they've got some great results to show for it. And the season is not over. 27 minutes to go for the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America Series.
Yeah, plenty of racing remaining in this race. These pit stops could be absolutely crucial. They have been on several occasions this season. They have to be that minimum pit stop time, which is from when they enter the pit lane to when they exit the pit lane. And if you are too short on your pit stop, you'll get a penalty.
We saw a couple of penalties handed down this morning. If it's you're short for less than 2 seconds, they'll assign that difference at the end of it. If it's more than that, the penalty is severe. It is a stop and hold for the amount of time that you are short. So you've got the pit lane delta, the time it takes you to run through pit lane, plus the time that you were short. So if you're going to be short, only be short by a little tiny bit, because otherwise the penalty is going to be huge.
Yeah, that's right. And they all have timers on board. They have the same pit stall all the way through the race weekend, so they know when they will have practiced this when they leave their pit stall, how much time needs to elapse before they hit the timer at the pit exit. That they'll have known already how much time it's spent coming in, so they can then back time it so they can leave at just the optimal time, so as not to trigger that alarm at the pit exit.
Danny Vermeil has now caught the 29 of Victor Gomez, who leads in the AM category. Four different classes out on the racetrack at the same time, all driving the same Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo. That's one of the things that makes this series so competitive. Brian Till, Jeremy Shaw with you. The final Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America race of the season. Four championships still on the line. Victor Gomez has the AM championship wrapped up. Randy Solari has wrapped up LB Cup as well. But the two championships left open, Pro and Pro-Am, those have yet to be decided with just over 24 minutes to go in the 2020 season. Jeremy, when you look back on 2020 and you look at the battles that we've seen, especially with the youngsters up front, Steven Agacani, Jacob Edson, Madison Snow, Brandon Godovic thrown in there, what do you think has been the turning point so far? We still have over 24 minutes to have another turning point in this season, but what do you think the turning point has been so far?
Well, I think the consistency in terms of the overall championship, the pro championship, as we see Matt Dickin not up to speed in the car that was leading in the LB Cup category. Matt Dickin led all the way through to the round of pit stops. He's already made his stop, but he doesn't seem now to be back up to speed. So that's a shame for Matt Dickin. But I think what the difference has been is the consistency. Madison Snow hasn't been quite as fast on a regular basis as Jacob Edson and Steven Agacani. They have got six pole positions to the two of Madison Snow. But Madison Snow has made very, very few mistakes and has been always up there or thereabout. Of the season for Madison Snow. He took checkered flag position this afternoon. Top three position that right now.
Well, consistency is what wins championships. This battle on the racetrack has been consistent. The 24 being hounded by Danny Vermeil in the bright green 99. And you talk to young drivers, and it's hard to get them to understand sometimes that the average finish of a championship-winning driver is somewhere between like 2.5 and 5. So somewhere between a second and a half place finish and a fifth place finish, depending on the series, depending on the number of cars in the classes. And as my friend Dorsey Schrader always used to say, if you finish second in a second place car, you won your class that day. You can't will a second place car into first. Take your points and win championship. Race wins are great, but championships are even better. And I think perhaps the experience of Madison Snow, he's done this before. He's won championships before. And it is a very different ball game to win a championship than it is to win a single event.
That's absolutely right. You imagine, so I mean, he's still only 24 years of age, which seems hard to imagine. But then, of course, he was racing and winning in Porsches at the age of 16, which is pretty remarkable. That was a long, long time ago now. But, you know, tremendously successful driver and has used all that experience to excellent effect. He's also one of the very few drivers to have raced here at Sebring previously in a Lamborghini.
Closing the gap a little bit, Madison Snow to Stephen Agacani, just about 1.4 seconds in front, not near that difference between the 24 of Leo Lamelas and the 99 of Danny Formal. Formal has hounded Lamelas since the drop of the green and is still there, but just cannot find a way by, Jeremy.
No, he can't. It's been a fantastic battle between these two. And, you know, they're both two young chargers. And it looks like now maybe that Danny Formal is going to have the inside line here at turn three. Leo Lamelas kind of faints to the inside as if to block him. He can't do so. Formal finally makes that pass. Really, really good driving by both of those two.
And that all got set up back here over the bumps. You can see the 24 of Leo Lamelas just really the car off the ground, all four wheels at times, and you can't get drive to those Pirelli tires if they're not on the ground. I think that gave Danny Formal just that little advantage down towards turn one, and passes at Sebring oftentimes take multiple corners to get accomplished because of how rough this racetrack is and the left-right configurations. One car has an advantage in one corner, and if you can stay with them, the other car is going to have the advantage in the next corner because of that right-left transition. Snow really beginning to close now on Stephen Agacani. This would be for the overall lead. And where Madison Snow sits right now, the championship is his. This is a pass that does not need to happen. My question, Jeremy, is how hard will he press to make it happen?
Yeah, and from his team's perspective, you hope not, because if he can just settle there in the second place, that's just fine. End game is championship. That's what the everybody wants here, is the season-long Lamborghini Super Trofeo title. And Madison is perfectly positioned right now. It's a good pit stop. I was a bit surprised by the US Racetronics team bringing Jacob Edson into the pits so early. I'd have thought he was out front pulling away. Why not leave him out there as long as possible before handing over the car to Stephen Agacani? I mean, they're both two very talented young drivers. Jacob Edson is keeping there at 25 years of age. Agacani still at 17. I would have thought the better move might have been to leave Ed, because he was pulling away, stay out as long as he can. Now, Madison Snow is going to use his greater experience and he's closing that margin. Quite a bit less than 1 second between the top two out on the racetrack.
Well, in every series, whether it's the WeatherTech series, Michelin Pilot, Prototype Challenge, one driver is going to have an advantage on a day, and I think that's what you're alluding to, Jeremy. You find the driver who has the advantage in your pairing, and you leave him in for as long as you possibly can. Madison Snow, remember, doing this solo, so he has, 32 minutes almost of experience on the racetrack already, and for Stephen Agacani, he's only been in the car for a few minutes. So Snow taking advantage of the experience that he has gained here at Sebring over the years, plus the time in the car today and in this race a little bit earlier. And perhaps that's why he's able to be closing the gap little bits at a time over Stephen Agacani in the six. It was 1.4 seconds two laps ago, only 0.9 last time by.
Yeah, it was a good bit closer that Madison Snow was able to get. And you know, just looking at the lap times at the beginning of the race, Jacob Edson obviously had the advantage of fresher tires, but his first flying lap, the second lap of the race, that was the fastest lap of the race, a 2:02.53. Car number six now, and Stephen Agacani having taken over from Jacob Edson, he's just turned his best laps. 2:05.0 last, but that'd be within a tenth of a second. So he doesn't have the same pace that Jacob Edson had earlier in this race, whereas Madison Snow does have a very similar pace that he's showing earlier on. That's why that gap.
Danny Bermout able to pull away from the 24 of Leo Lamellis. Once he's gotten by, he seems to have been able to pull away. And now Madison Snow, 0.5 seconds behind Stephen Agakani in the six. He is closing that gap. The question is, what will he do with it? Is he going to try to force his way through and end this season on a high note with a victory, or will he settle for second in the championship that comes with that? Down through Bishop's Bend, 145 miles an hour in one of these Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evos when everything is right. Probably not quite that quick right now with the Pirelli tires being worn a little bit. And then the run through turn 16 takes you on to the Ullman Straight. 165 miles an hour at the end of this straightaway. Heavy braking at the end, down a two, maybe three gears, and then hold on, because there comes a point in time when you get close to the apex where it's hard to even see. The car's off the ground over the bumps. You want to be down closer to the apex. That's where everything that you know tells you you need to be, but the closer to the apex you get in 17, quite often, the bumpier it gets.
Better pace on that lap from Stephen Agakani, 2 minutes 4.2. That's his best lap of the race so far, but Madison Snow is tracking his every move there, and closing in on the both of them is Brandon Gadovic in that Precision Performance Motorsports car number 46.
Snow right there, and Gadovic, talk about wanting to win a race and end the season on a high note. He was victorious in the second race at VIR, had problems after what looked like maybe a victory was going to be his. He was so fast at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, and then, as you called it earlier, a quote clerical error on the part of the team forced him to make a pit stop, go to the garage area for fuel. That cost him what might have been a victory. He wants to end the season on a high note. Now Madison Snow, Jeremy, has another decision to make with Brandon Gadovic closing in. How hard does he fight with Gadovic? They know the points. They know what's at stake. They know that if he finishes third, he can still take the championship. So how hard are you going to fight with Gadovic as the lead threesome is closing in on a slower class car in front?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, third place will be enough for Madison Snow. So I'm sure if Brandon Gadovic gets super close to him, he's still four or five car lengths behind now, maybe even a little more as the leaders come up to lap Sydney McKee as they head on to the Ullman Straight. But for Snow, he's certainly got to be mindful of that car that's really, really close behind him in third position. We've got five different teams in the top five positions: US Racetronics, Change Racing, Precision Performance, Prestige Performance, and Ansa Motorsports filling top five positions. It's not huge, really, in terms of pace between any of them.
Agakani across the line one more time, just over 13 minutes to go. Hats off to Sydney McKee, running in LB Cup, shown second in the category right now, down the back straightaway. On some of those long views, you could see her turning her head, checking her mirrors, making sure that the faster cars that she knew were coming by had clear passage through. The first car through was Agakani. She made sure she stayed wide a little bit into 17, allowing Snow clear passage, and then Gadovic. So McKee really learning the trade here in Lamborghini, did not interfere with this battle up front.
Yeah, good heads-up driving from Sydney McKee. Had her first win in the LB Cup class last time out at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca out on the West Coast, and now running again in the second position. Matt Dickens' car clearly has been giving him problems. He got back up to speed. We saw the car very slow on the start-finish straight. He did pick up speed again, but now it seems to have dropped back again. For Matt Dickens, he's back in third place in LB Cup, and Randy Solari looking for another pretty handy victory here in that class to wrap up the championship in the perfect style in LB Cup.
Danny Formal trying to end the season with a win. He's had good finishes. He's been on the podium. He's been in second. He's been in third, but he has not had a victory. Leading right now in Pro-Am over Leo Lamellis. But Lamellis is going to try to have an answer for Danny Formal by the time this is over. The best battle on the racetrack is up front, though, over the top three. And about 7/10 of a second from Madison Snow. Last time by, he was behind Stephen Agakani. And then about another half second back to Brandon Gadovic. Such a high-speed run down into turn one here, closing in on 155 miles an hour or so. And then through turn one, an apex speed of around 95 miles an hour. So you are hauling the mail. Big bump at the exit of turn one the drivers always have to be aware of. And then a section of the racetrack that really requires patience as you head into turns three, four, and five. Multiple pavement changes in here where the balance of the car changes. You have grip and then you don't, from one surface to the next, around Gurney Bend and down to the hairpin. If you want to get a pass done, this is perhaps one of the best places under heavy braking, but a big bump just as you get towards the turn in.
Yeah, it's tricky down there, isn't it? And you know, it's a really good race between these three at the front. Stephen Agakani, he's just turned his best lap of the race. 4.11. We're just over 10 minutes remaining in this race, but he's stabilized that gap now to Madison Snow. But Brandon Gadovic is making things interesting as well in that third position. That's a great looking car. That the one that's out front is a different color scheme than we've seen for Stephen Agakani and Jacob Edson through the first, all the way through to this final round of the championship. It is indeed a brand new car, and it's a special Tricolore edition. So it looks stunning, hand-painted at the factory in Bologna, in Italy. Primarily white, but with little Italian green and white, green and red flashes on it. Looks absolutely stunning, and looks even better for that team because it's out in the lead of this race.
It's amazing how beautiful paint schemes look when your car is out in front with them. They always look faster when they are out in front, and it gives you an idea of exactly what this team was willing to do, US Racetronics, to try to bring this championship home for Agakani and Edson. A brand new car, a lot of times a little bit stiffer, a little more rigid, and that allows the suspension to do what it needs to do because the chassis does not flex. And for Agakani and Edson, they took that brand new car and have been incredibly impressive with it this weekend. Two pole positions and a race win so far, but it may not be enough. The 69 now under attack. Eric Curran, former WeatherTech champion, behind the wheel of the 69. He is trying not to go down a lap to Danny Formal. William Hubble had started the 69. Good to see Hubble back in the series. Ran last year, but has been absent throughout the first part of the season this year, but returns here at Sebring for a send-off. And Eric Curran showing that he still has speed, and the battle up front continues to be close, Jeremy. In fact, I think it's gotten closer.
Yeah, it certainly, I think it has, just a fraction quicker that time for Madison Snow, just about a tenth of a second, not even a tenth of a second, just a hundredth of a second quicker. So infinitesimal, but certainly Brandon Gadovic is closer to Madison Snow in that third position car, car number 46 for Precision Performance. This is a really good, entertaining three-car battle for the lead now. We're just 8 minutes off the 50 remaining.
Well, I'll give Brandon Gadovic credit too, and I'm going to have a little foreshadowing as I say this. Brandon Gadovic is very aware of the championship that is in front of him. He knows where both of those cars sit in the championship and what it means, how close it is. While a victory would be special for him, and I certainly think he'll try to grab it if he can, it would be win number two on the season. I don't think he wants to get in the middle of something that, where a fight that he doesn't really have a dog in. So it's one of those things where, as a race car driver, you really have to think about this, because you want those positions, you want those points, you want to move forward. Getting past Madison Snow would do nothing for Brandon Gadovic in the championship. It's not going to really get him another spot. But if he messes up in trying to get past Madison Snow and messes up Madison Snow's championship, that story will reverberate through the paddock for years to come. And teams remember that. They remember a driver for not only their performances on the racetrack via the stopwatch and the finishing positions, but how they conduct themselves in situations such as this. Brandon Gadovic knows that. He has plenty of experience, plenty of speed. So there's a lot of thought and calculation going on in his mind, too, as to when, where, and how he can get a move made, if he can.
Well, that's very true. I mean, you know, all three of these guys, well, two of the three are very experienced. Stephen Argicani, he was gracious, he's only 17 years of age, so he doesn't have anything like experience as the other two. But know that from the way he's driving in the lead of this race. They're coming up now to lap the LB Cup leader. That's Randy Solari. About the first possible place. Randy Solari there doing a really nice job to stay out of the way and allow the three leaders to go past. Hats off to you, Randy. Fine move. Now back to line. Try and see if we can learn something.
Randy Solari, and we talked about Sydney McKee earlier, and that's one of the things that drivers learn throughout these different classes. You may not be as fast as the pro drivers up front, but you learn to deal with multi-class traffic. And for Sydney McKee, which we saw earlier, Randy Solari there at the exit of turn 10, a pretty tight area of the racetrack, knows that he had no one really around him, so he didn't have to worry about giving up a position. Easy for him to be aware of the battle that was coming through. I'm sure his team told him about it on the radio. Just slid out of the way and allowed Agakani, Snow, and Gadovic safe passage.
Yeah, a good heads-up driver now. Just 5 minutes remaining in this race. So for the team there, US Racetronics, they'll be breathing a sigh of relief in one way, because they want Stephen Agakani to bring this car home for what will be that team's fourth win of the season. But at the same time, they want this race to go longer in the hopes that perhaps it's some sort of a problem for number 16 for Madison Snow, and perhaps they can sneak out this damage.
Gadovic looking as they go through five. He wants a run off of turn five and six so he can make a move down at turn seven. It really is one of the best opportunities, but these Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evos, with the braking systems that they have, if you're acclimated to the anti-lock braking system, you're comfortable with it. They have phenomenal braking, good aerodynamics, good brakes, and good tires give you short braking zones. And so even there, from 150 plus miles an hour down to 43 miles an hour, the braking zone isn't very long.
No, it isn't, is it? I mean, these cars, you know, the performance of these cars is pretty special, and particularly for drivers who are in the early stages of their pro racing careers, the LB Cup contenders. I'm thinking, this is a lot of race car. I mean, these cars are fast, and they are very difficult to drive right on the limit.
And that's the thing that's so impressive about LB Cup drivers coming in and running with the leaders up front. All four classes, the exact same car, the exact same 600-plus V10 horsepower that's behind them, the same Pirelli tires. So the equipment is there. You just learn to deal with it as you move up through the classes. You find more speed. The officials move you up to the next class. You race with drivers of your caliber, your experience, your talent level.